William Shakespeare is universally recognized as the greatest non-Bible writer of all time. Learn why he was so proud of the British Empire and how God expects all mankind to become empire builders. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. William Shakespeare helped lay the foundation of the beginning of the great British Empire. And that empire came on the scene in the early, very early 1800s. The British people had, in many ways, been prepared to rule that empire, and I think William Shakespeare played a key role in that, getting them ready to rule over the greatest empire ever on this planet. It was huge, and the sun never set on that empire because it was really, literally, around the whole world. Shakespeare also teaches us why Britain has lost its empire. What happened? What went wrong? At least a big part of the reason, or the main part of the reason that they lost their empire. And he also, in principle, shows us how America is filled with a cauldron of evils today, and how they could solve those evils if they were willing to do so. There is a giant lesson in this, and if we don't learn it, well, the problems keep intensifying until we do. We have to learn why we're having all these problems, or why the great British Empire just faded from the scene until it's no longer here. Why did that happen? Why did it come on the scene in the first place? Well, we need to answer those questions. Shakespeare really does tell us how to sustain an empire after we have built it. After all, if you build it, you have to be able to sustain it. How do you do that? I'm going to read you a quote that is really, I think, mind-staggering, to say the least, that most people don't know, I think, about William Shakespeare. Let me read this to you. It's taken from the Facts About Shakespeare by William Allen Nielsen and Ashley Horace Thorndike. And here's what they had to say. Shakespeare knew his Bible. Several volumes have been written to exhibit the extent of this knowledge. And it has been shown by Anders that he knew both the Genevan and the great Bible. Charles Wordsworth, a bishop of St. Andrews and a scholar well-versed in both Latin and Greek, wrote, "Take the entire range of English literature. Put it together. Our best authors who have written upon subjects not professedly religious or theological, and we shall not find, I believe, in them all united, so much evidence of the Bible having been read and used as we have found in Shakespeare alone." All of these major authors of our literature discussed very important subjects in many cases. But all of them together, this man believes, never talked about the Bible as much as William Shakespeare did. He talked about the Bible and how to, in many ways, how to apply it. How to apply the lessons of the Bible. He lived at the time the King James Bible was printed, and at the time of Queen Elizabeth I. So Shakespeare was in that history at a critical time when it was building up toward the beginning of that great world-circling empire. Let me read you another quote here, this one from the book Lectures on the Science of Language. Max Muller wrote, quote, "A well-educated person in England who has been at a public school and at the university seldom uses more than about 3,000 or 4,000 words." But then he goes on to say that Shakespeare had a variety of 15,000 words. That's what kind of a vocabulary this man had. A great educator for the British people, and he's well known all over this world, because people recognize he's the greatest poet that's ever lived, certainly outside the Bible. Now, he wrote a lot of poetry, but there's also some really supreme poetry in the Bible that people don't really understand. Let me quote from King John, one of Shakespeare's plays, with that same purpose changer, that sly devil, that broker that still breaks the pate of faith. So he's talking about faith, talking about people having faith, and that Satan the devil is able to break that. Now that's very biblical. And if you can break people's faith, you can destroy an empire. And that's, I think, something every one of us should understand. In The Merchant of Venice, Portia has this to say, "But mercy above the sceptered sway, it is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God Himself." That is, mercy is an attribute of God Himself. Now, he had to know that is very biblical. So how many nations are really taught anything like that in their literature? You won't find a book like that today at all that is considered secular. You just don't find such books. Shakespeare's best play is arguably Hamlet. We talk about the to be or not to be soliloquy, but Abraham Lincoln liked another soliloquy in Hamlet better than that. And let me just read a little bit of it to you. In this play of Hamlet, that the setting is in the royal house of Denmark. And so Hamlet's father was king, and then his brother killed Hamlet's father, and in less than 2 months married Hamlet's mother. And it was one of perhaps the most abominable scenes in Shakespeare's plays. But let me read to you what Abraham Lincoln said about another soliloquy that he liked more. This is coming from Hamlet's uncle, or the brother of his father, who finally realized what he had done, the horrible sin, and here's what he said. Oh, my offense is rank. It smells to heaven. He's in pain. Oh, my offense is rank. It smells to heaven. It has the primal eldest curse upon it, a brother's murder. But what is that about? Well, he's talking about Adam and Eve, who led the world away from God. And what do you think about the very first family had one son kill another one? You'd think they would realize how horrible it is to turn away from God when something like that happens. But let me read to you just a little more here from that section. Try what repentance can, what can it not? Talking about repentance. Now, how many secular books do you find today that talk about repentance? Try what repentance can, what can it not? Yet what when one cannot repent? Oh, wretched state! Oh, bosom black as death! It sounds quite a lot like Romans 7, verse 24, where Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And he was repenting toward God. And this is about repentance here. A man, one of the main characters in that play, repenting of his sins. And Abraham Lincoln thought that was more moving than the to be or not to be soliloquy. Here's another part of that. Bow, stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel. Be soft to sinews of the newborn babe. All may be well. In other words, if you repent like you should, and as it says in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3, become as a little child. I think Shakespeare certainly did understand that. Further down, here's Hamlet then goes to his mother, who was an accomplice in killing her own husband and Hamlet's father. Notice what he said to her. "Mother, for love of grace, confess yourself to heaven. Repent what's past. Avoid what is to come." Now that's from secular writing of Shakespeare. Now, do you think that might have had quite a lot to do with the laying the foundation for the great British Empire, and where God promised those blessings to them, gave those birthright blessings to them and to America? They came through Abraham and his obedience. And our book on the United States and Britain in Prophecy tells you all about that and will teach it to you very forcefully and prove it to you. Hamlet went on to say, "The time is out of joint. O cursed spite that ever I was born to set it right." And of course, God does sometimes call people in the Bible as he chose his last era of his church to look at the corruption and the turning away from God by the sixth era of the church. And God said he would raise up those ruins, or he'd set it all right through his very elect. A principle you'll read throughout the Bible. So one more question here that Hamlet asked. What is man? What is a man? And of course he's referring to the man's creator as he that made us with such large discourse. Well, it says in Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is man? Well, Shakespeare's asking practically the same question. And he says, and he that has made us, created us with such large discourse. Wow. Who made us with this large discourse, this mind of man that can reason and think like God in many ways? This poem goes on to say, surely he that made us with such large discourse, looking before and after, gave us not that capability and God-like reason to fust in us unused, or to grow moldy in our minds and unused, and not use this great God-like reason that God has given us. There's something different about man. No animal has that capability, and we're not animals. The Bible certainly teaches against that. We are made in the likeness of God and are to be made in the image of God with the very mind and character of God. Genesis 1 and verse 26, right in the first chapter of the Bible. But here we have minds where we can reason like God. Now, that's powerful poetry. Unbelievably powerful. Well, I don't have time to read too much of this, but I tell you, there is a lot here that we really, really need to understand. Another quote here, James Russell Lowell wrote, "It may be reckoned one of the rarest pieces of good luck that ever fell to the share of the race that was true of Shakespeare. Its most rhythmic genius, its acutest intellect, its profoundest imagination, and its healthiest understanding should have been combined in one man." He says it was just luck. But was it just luck? Or do you think maybe God might have had a hand in that, because he did give this birthright blessing to Britain and all that world-girdling empire? And so he had to certainly get the British peoples ready to do that job. I mean, it takes some ability to rule the greatest empire there ever has been on this earth. Amazing. And he goes on to say, all the favorable stars seems to have been in conjunction at his nativity. Well, favorable stars. I think, again, he thinks maybe there was something to it besides just luck himself, perhaps. Let me read you another quote referring to William Shakespeare. This is taken from The Mysterious William Shakespeare, The Myth and the Reality by Charlton Ogborn. In this part, he quoted Herman Sinsheimer, and this is what that man said. "There was not room enough for him in the island of Britain. He had to roam far and wide in order to keep his genius supplied with raw material. Like Drake and Raleigh, he discovered and held as booty the material which set his imagination on fire. Between the lines and between the characters, one may read the legend, quote, our island is too small. Our kingdom is the world. Our kingdom is the world." And they almost rule the world. They certainly had control of the real power in the world at that time. So Shakespeare really did expand the minds of many of the British people, especially the leaders. And they read Shakespeare and they know about Shakespeare. Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln loved William Shakespeare and said, look, all you need is Shakespeare and the Bible and you can be a really well-educated person. That's how Abraham Lincoln thought about this. And Samuel Johnson called him Britain's triumph or the soul of the age. In other words, there was just a spirit there that William Shakespeare gave to the British people. I'll just give you some scriptures you might want to check. But Genesis 35 and verse 11 says, there's a nation and a company of nations shall be of you, a great nation, it goes on to say, and a company or a commonwealth of nations, the British Commonwealth. That's what this prophecy is talking about in the first book of the Bible. They were prophesied to receive the great wealth, the great empire that they did, and America was prophesied to receive the greatest single nation ever on this earth, the greatest superpower ever on this earth. It's all prophesied in our book on the United States and Britain, and prophecy will show you that. The name of Israel, you can read in Genesis 48 and in that book that the name of Israel or Jacob is on two nations. Manasseh and Ephraim are the United States and Britain. And again, you can prove that to yourself very easily. That's in Genesis 48 and verse 19. Genesis 48 and verse 19. Then in verse 1 of chapter 49, there really shouldn't be a chapter break there, and it says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. In the last days. Well, what do you know? All this is prophesied from the first book of the Bible, and it's about the last days that we're living in right now. I think that's phenomenal. And it prophesied of all the prosperity that they would have, that the branches would just run over the wall. They would be so wealthy and such a colonizing people. It really is an amazing and mind-shattering prophecy that very few people understand. At least 25% of the Bible is written in poetic form, so you can really compress the language and you have more power in great poetry than you would in prose. Shakespeare wrote all of his plays in poetry. Miriam Joseph notes that Shakespeare lived in an age ardently devoted to the reading of the Bible, and wherein a knowledge of the figures of rhetoric, quote, helped much for the better understanding of the Holy Scriptures. That's from Shakespeare's use of the arts of language. He wrote at a time when the British people were ardently devoted to the reading of the Bible, but that's not the case today, and the empire is gone. Is there a connection? Well, of course there is. Of course there is. See, again, if you want to rule an empire, if you want to really be an empire builder, you better learn this lesson or your empire will never, ever last. It will always falter. Now, that was really just the beginning of the great British Empire. And Shakespeare lived in that age. And today, in America or in Britain, those two birthright nations, are they ardently devoted to reading the Bible? Oh, you know they're not. And they should be. Because it shows us the solutions to all of our problems that we have. And we have many of them. Many problems. We have to have a certain amount of faith to endure in an empire. And really, it's very condemning history, I'll tell you, because there is a kind of a rot that has set in Britain and America. And why is that? In America, you just have this great cauldron of evils. Why is that? What is causing it? What is the solution? Well, really, you can find it in Shakespeare even. You certainly can find it in the Bible, in all of our literature that we'll send to you to prove that to yourself. We are facing some great crises, and we have to understand that. Well, he goes on to talk about this greatest mind in the history of literature. And let me give you one more quick quote here, again from Lowell that I quoted earlier. Then he talked about, well, the uncouth meter of false grammar and, well, just being kind of crass in literature. You don't find that in Shakespeare at all. And then Samuel Johnson went on to talk about how, about the muse's anvil and how he kept sweating and working and doing everything he could to perfect his poetry. And he worked extremely hard. And he said, for a good poet's made as well as born. He wrote a poem about that. But this is all about the early beginning of the, well, at least the foundation of the British Empire. God makes us sweat and struggle to be successful. And we need to understand the mind of Shakespeare and as he understood the human mind. And we also need to develop the very mind of God which excels William Shakespeare. Philippians 2 and verse 5, we can have the very mind that was in Jesus Christ, the very faith that was in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And of course, at that time, Britain had the throne of David. And there's just tremendous poetry. And King Richard stated about the terrible life of a king and how difficult it was for a king. Lincoln just loved William Shakespeare and, of course, was facing the Civil War. And he realized that he needed help from God to be successful in that Civil War. Well, I'll give you one final quote here, where in Julius Caesar it says, there is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. And Lincoln said, well, that's a powerful truth. And he applied it in his own life. And he said, now, if you'll take this of the affairs of men and just ride the tide and really look to God, you'll have great, great success in your life and you'll be an empire builder. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
William Shakespeare is universally recognized as the greatest non-Bible writer of all time. Learn why he was so proud of the British Empire and how God expects all mankind to become empire builders. Shakespeare wrote about some deep topics, including empire building, repentance, faith, the human mind, and victory. He openly acknowledged God's existence. He took inspiration from the Bible and used it to inspire the British people and the world. Shakespeare warned that the British Empire would not last apart from God. The same is also true of God's church. Request Gerald Flurry's free book, The Last Hour, to understand the urgency required for following God in this deadly age of man. The Apostle John lived in the midst of a savage persecution. Many congregations of God's church were being subverted by traitors. When he wrote his epistles, John thought it was the last hour before Christ's second coming. In fact, it was only a type of our time today. Every detail of John's writings is now being fulfilled. John's last hour epistles are mainly for God's end time church. As God's church was falling apart around him, John remained hopeful. His writings discuss how Christ can live in human beings, how to fight Satan and win, our advocate when we sin, the joys of God's government, and an eternal God family vision. Read The Last Hour to learn how to build the vision needed to endure to the end. You will also receive Gerald Flurry's free reprint article, Shakespeare and the British Empire. In some ways, the British Empire gives insight into the wonderful world tomorrow. See how God directed Shakespeare to make these parallels clear. Shakespeare was not a converted true Christian, but he did know how involved God was in making Britain a world superpower. He also knew that sinning against God would lead to the collapse of the empire. Two of the greatest leaders in Western civilization, Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill, studied Shakespeare at length. Like Shakespeare, they possessed unstoppable vision. Read Shakespeare and the British Empire to learn the many lessons for God's people found within the writings of Shakespeare. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Last Hour and Shakespeare and the British Empire. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Last Hour and Shakespeare and the British Empire. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.